Boris, welcome back. Let's dive right into the numbers. We're going to be talking today about Japan's inflation rate that came out, the foreign direct investments in China, and then covering the long-awaited Swiss interest rate decision and kind of what it's been doing and what the Swiss franc has been doing over the past few months. So looking at the Japan numbers, we saw inflation actually saw an uptick in Japan from 2.2% to 2.8%.
I think it was 2% to 2.8, wasn't
Depending on what you're looking at, what I had read
it?
in their different calculations, I saw it at 2.2% pre-meeting, but then there was also a number where they calculated where it was around 2%.
But it's either way, it is quite an increase of inflation of an inflation figure from 2.2% to 2.8%. So I think that's what they were waiting for. They were really seeking inflation in Japan. That is something they have been struggling for a long time. And it was also shown in their interest rate policy, as they have been in negative territory for a long, long time. A matter of fact, they changed it this year.
Yeah, I mean, not just this year, but in the past couple of weeks. I mean,
Yeah, correct.
it's such a interesting move in this uptick in inflation coming after, or at least the numbers being released after the interest rate decision, kind of shows a little bit of an anticipatory movement. They want that inflation, but they don't want it to go out of control. So let's move out of the interest or the negative interest rate environment back into a interest rate environment, which is interesting. Despite being a very soft interest rate environment.
It is, yeah, indeed. And it's also, I mean, the interest rate environment is one part of the story, but the other part is the currency and the strength of the currency overall. And the Japanese yen has weakened quite a bit last year already, and this year it went further down. And so this is really something they are struggling as well. Even so, from like a domestic perspective, it might be a good thing if you can export goods and services for less because your currency is so weak. When it comes to importing stuff, it can hurt quite a bit. And that's also kind of where quite some of the inflation is coming from, that like raw material that is imported and maybe counted and paid for in US dollar, that it will increase the input costs.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see. I think moving on from there into the foreign direct investments into China, we've seen it now. It came out that they are 19.9% down since the beginning of the year. It's been foreign direct investments into China have been falling since mid of last year. It continues to spell some trouble for China, seriously. From what I was looking into the numbers, I think it was construction saw a little bit of more increase in terms of foreign direct investments in China. But again, nearly 20% down 2 months into the year, it certainly is concerning for China.
Yeah, it was already down quite a bit last year. And what is interesting is that the investments into technology have increased quite a bit. So there is still some interest, but the environment in China on one side is a very insecure one. There is a lot of regulation, a lot of control coming from the government, from the party as well, which is in power. And then on the other hand, we see, and this is more of a perspective we have here at WHVP, that the economies overall, also in developed countries, that they are not doing as well as a lot of people or experts are saying they do. And on top of that, capital is more costly. So you can't just like throw around money and say, oh, let's invest there another $2 billion and there another $3 billion. So you really have to start going back to the roots, reallocating your funds, your liquidity you have, and making decisions on whether to invest in China, which might or does for sure have some advantages. But then there are other economies. For example, Vietnam is very favored in recently, and also India has a lot to offer. And so it has become an environment where we also see that the Chinese government has to really make an effort to get new money and new investments. We also have seen this week, I think it was, that Xi Jinping has met with CEOs from American companies, like big companies, Apple, Qualcomm, and so on. So there is an effort going on to reinstate the confidence in making investments in China.
Yeah, and it will be a tough environment for them to traverse, but it will be very interesting from our standpoint in watching it.
Yeah.
So let's move into the Swiss National Bank interest rate decision. They've lowered it, the first country, well, not first country, but pretty much the first country, major developed country, to make cuts to the interest rate. Mm-hmm. Quite interesting to see. Maybe you could give the viewers a little bit of a context of why they did that and what the Swiss franc is kind of doing at the moment.
Maybe, first of all, it is interesting to hear and to learn that the top which was reached in regards to the interest rate in Switzerland was 1.75%. I mean, compared with the US, for example, where it still stays at 5.5%, it's rather slow. And then on another note, inflation in Switzerland has been below 2% for quite some time again, has hit 1.2% recently. So this gave enough confidence to the Swiss National Bank and their directors to make this step. For the currency, I mean, the Swiss franc as a safe haven has appreciated a lot, especially during the last 2-3 months last year, like October, November, December. And then this year, it has stayed pretty strong. And from the perspective of the Swiss National Bank, they have to secure price stability. And then on a broader spectrum, they have to take into consideration like the overall well-being of the economy. And so that also means if the Swiss franc becomes too strong, the other way around, as we have had it with Japan, if it becomes too strong, it becomes more difficult for Swiss companies to compete with foreign companies. And so I think that this was the right move from the Swiss National Bank. I think it was a bold move. It was not expected. It was a big surprise. There were like rate cuts expected, but later this year. And it also shows how the Swiss National Bank, even so it is dependent on what the European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve does, they are still very much independent and say, okay, look, we have our own view. That's what we are going to do.
Yeah, I think it's important that the Swiss National Bank like holds that independence to ensure that the Swiss franc holds its value, doesn't appreciate too much or depreciate too much. You know, I remember, every once in a while, there's an article that pops up that, the Swiss franc has lost value to a basket of currencies of 3-5% since the beginning of the year. People go, oh my goodness, what is that? But they forget all of the appreciation that it's had in the past 2 years, the past 5 years, the past 10 years, and how that appreciation can actually affect companies.
Yeah.
I mean, we see companies that we're interested in where their numbers really hurt in 2023 because the Swiss franc was so strong and they were working with contracts in other currencies. And so when they have to turn that back into Swiss francs for their reporting, they have a challenging time if the Swiss franc always grows and grows and grows. And I think, as you mentioned, that's where the Swiss National Bank has to look, okay, we don't want too much appreciation all at once or else it can really affect not just the currency, but the companies that make up their economy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so with that, next week, we're going to be talking about manufacturing. We have numbers coming out of, Japan, China, and the US. So look forward to that and excited to record this with you then.
Perfect.